we can be faithful is because of His faithfulness. He has been very faithful to us. Turn to John chapter 16. If you would, John chapter 16, a good opportunity for us to see the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and how He has been so much to us, for us. The Gospel of John, and you're turning to chapter 16. We have been building up to get to chapter 17, and it's His high priestly prayer that Jesus prays for us. And I look forward to giving to you the things that Jesus prays for you about. And so it's been an exciting endeavor. I don't know if you would agree, but I have enjoyed John chapters 13, 14, 15. Today, ending chapter 16 and then getting ready to move into chapter 17. Again, a prayer that Jesus prays for us among others. But I look forward to getting to go through that. This morning we're looking at the heart of Christ, and I've entitled it His Willful Choice. His Willful Choice. Look at John chapter 16, and let's look at the very last verse that is given there. I'll catch you up to speed with the passage here in just a moment, but look at the last verse. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Father, in the next few moments, I need you. I need you. I cannot give to these people what you want them to get. And Lord, I'm asking that it wouldn't just be formality. I'm asking that it just wouldn't be words. I pray that we would hear from heaven today. And God, you would pour yourself out upon us and that you would show us yourself and that we would be encouraged to move forward for you. God, I thank you. Lord, the devil would love to distract us this morning. The devil would love to keep things from happening today. God, I'm asking that through your Son's holy and precious name that Satan would be bound. And that you would be strong and that you would be victorious. God, Father, for you have overcome already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at the heart of Christ. And we see His willful choice. You know, it means a lot when people sacrificially and willingly do things for you, for us. Would you agree? You know, when somebody gives you something and you know that it's just out of a great abundance, doesn't mean a lot. You know, if somebody, maybe you're at some sort of a fair or a place where there's a bunch of people, and at the end of the day, the vendor is getting ready to be done, and he's got, you know, you've seen some of those places, they have a stack of pens about this big. You know, it's just like tons of them. They don't know what to do. They don't want to put it in their suitcase. They want to just leave them there. And so there it is, and all of a sudden he says, "Here, do you want one?" And you feel special, right? Because you just got the greatest thing in the world. No, you know, it was a handout. There was nothing. It's not like that guy gave you of himself and he just poured out himself and sacrificed to give you that pen. No, in fact, you were doing him a favor, lightening his load, and you took that pen, okay? Well, sacrificial and willing giving means something when you know that, you know, a person really cherishes something. They really like it. They want it and they have it. And they have stepped out and they have decided to give to you something that meant so much. I want you to think back just for a moment when somebody maybe in your life sacrificed willingly. And that really, I stick that word willingly in, but sacrifice is willing. It's part of the word. But for your understanding, willing sacrifice. I willingly give to you something that is so precious to me. It means a lot. This passage here, we see Christ's willful sacrificial choice that He gives to us. Now let's back up a few verses. Let's go back and let's go back up to verse 25. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. You know, they've been confused. They don't know everything that's going on. Jesus has spoken things. He's talked about His death. He's talked about His leaving. He's talked about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the world hating them. He's talking about them going out into the world that hates them. And And they need to go out and to win the lost to himself and to bring them back and disciple them. The disciples don't know how they're going to have strength to do it. He affirms and he assures them that you can do it. And he says that I'll even give you my name as credentials that you can take to go to the Father. And when you ask him in my name, he's going to give it to you. So really, if we're about the Father's business through the name of Jesus Christ, we can have anything we want to. Now, you got to take what I just said on every word. But according to the Father's will and through Jesus Christ's name, we can have anything that we want. But again, take it through those two. As far as going out into the scary world and winning the lost and bringing them back into discipleship, we have it, folks. If we'll ask him. Did you get that? We have it. If we'll ask him, if we'll do it, if we'll be willing to be used to do it. So Christ has given him all this. He's given all. I mean, the disciples don't even really know all that they have just gotten, but they're soon to find it out in the book of Acts. They're soon to find it out. They're soon to reap some great things that Jesus Christ is here sowing into their hearts. So he's given them all these things. He's spoken to them, and notice in verse 25, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name." Again, he reiterates that, "and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." Now let me stop there. That could confuse you. You say, "I thought you just said that he prays for us." He says, "I'm not going to pray the Father for you." What he's really saying there is, I'm not going to have to go to the Father for you. You're going to be able to go to the Father on your own. Okay? In my name. I don't have to be that priest that you have to come to me to get to the Father. No, you're going to be able to go to the Father straight. And you're going to be able to use my name. That's all he's saying there. Okay? So he said, you're going to be able to go straight to the Father. And he says, I've spoken to you in Proverbs, difficult things, but he says, no longer. No longer. Now I'm going to show you plainly the Father. There's going to be some revelation given to you. And by the way, the disciples are going to see a lot of revelation. It's going to open up before their eyes. Okay? He says in verse 27, "And the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I am come out from God." He's just reiterating their faith in him and understanding that he is from God. All right, verse 29. "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that we knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." I'll be honest with you, I don't exactly understand if this is a statement that says, oh, now we get it. I don't know. I don't really understand that. But he's telling them, the disciples say, now we're sure we know all things. They obviously didn't know all things, but they took Jesus' words of, I've been speaking to you difficulty, but now it's going to be plain. That gave them some assurance. They said, you know what, now we're going to learn to really understand who you are. And it did. It did happen, but I want you to see what's after that. 31, "Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe?" Now he asked this question, and he goes right into this. So, okay, you have said that you believe. Do you now believe? Verse 32, "Behold." Now, here's the test of their faith. You know, he says, do you really believe? You say you believe. Now you're getting a little excited. You say you believe. Do you believe? "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come." What's he talking about? What's now come? What's the hour here? His crucifixion, right? The cross is coming. He says, "Behold, your hour cometh, yea, now, yea, is come now, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own." And you can hear the words, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And he says, "You're going to be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Then he goes on in verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know, really what he's saying here in these three verses is, he says, do you really believe? There's going to be some difficult times coming. In fact, you're going to demonstrate that you're struggling with your faith. You're going to run away from me. You're going to leave me alone. But he said, I want you to know something. Even through all the tribulations and struggles that are about ready to take place, you don't have to worry, you don't have to fear, because I have overcome the world. Now, the message is not done. But I want you to consider a couple of phrases that are mentioned here. Three times, there's a word. Actually, four times, okay? But there's a word. Anybody pick the word out that's listed four times in here? Verse 33. It's the word have. Have. Two times listed, he says, I have. And then another two times, in one he says, ye might have. And then he says, ye shall have. I want us to focus on this thought of I have. I have. What had he done? What was Jesus offering? He says, I have done this. You know, I think of that phrase, I have. Yes, we can look at the tense and we can say it sounds like it's something from the past. That's not the point. So if you're already thinking, okay, something that, you know, the preacher is going to bring out a point that he had done in the past. Well, that's true. That's not what we're going to look at this morning, that he's saying, I have. It's a statement, as I think about it, of giving. I have done this for you. I have freely given you some things. I want you to look at these phrases that are listed here. First of all, I want you to see, number one, he willingly gave his time to his disciples. Look at the beginning of verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you. Now, what is he talking about there? These things I have spoken unto you. Jesus speaking to his disciples. And what had he done? He had been speaking with them, right? Here we see the time that Jesus Christ had invested with these men. He says, I have done this for you. I have given you my time. Did Jesus do that by force? Did the Father make him go down to these disciples and say, you must spend time with these men? No, he did it. He did it on his own accord. He willingly gave. He says, these things I have spoken unto you. He had given them his time. So this statement represents the time that Jesus had given to these disciples. He had made himself totally available to these men. I mean, can you imagine spending 24/7 with Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes I wish, you know, Lord, would you meet with me today? I come here for my devotions. So I say, Lord, would you meet with me? And I'm trying to spend some time with him. And we have Jesus, but I tell you what, I don't always see it. And I don't know that the disciples always realized what they had, who they had. But imagine with me just for a moment to have Jesus. And I'm not talking about having right now as you think of in your heart, or as people say in your heart, but to be saved. Have Jesus with you. But these men had him. They had him physically with him. Jesus was there. They could look right across the way, and there was Jesus. They talked with him. They ate with him. They spent their time with him. Jesus had willingly done that. Now, he had given them approximately 3 years. Can you imagine what life would be like if you had the life of Jesus Christ for a day? Would you like to say, I have Jesus today? You know, for me, this past Wednesday night, Tuesday evening and Wednesday night, Wednesday was pretty special. I was able to spend time with Pastor Van Gelderen. Again, I told you last week, he is in our circles, he's a premier. I hate to put him up on a level, but he's a premier pastor that a number of people would love to spend time with him. In fact, I had different pastors say, "What? How did you get him?" I asked him. I mean, nothing special to that, but he came and he willingly gave his time for me. And I'm not joking. We sat back there in my office all day. And he gave himself to me. And whatever questions I had, I think I had 21 things on my list to ask him. We got through the whole list and we went through and we talked, and I tell you, we worked through things. He took out paper and pencil and wrote things, and he had things all over the place. He gave himself to me, and I'll tell you what, I felt very blessed that someone made themselves available. But I want to tell you something. Wayne Van Gelder matches up to Jesus Christ at nothing at all. Can you imagine Jesus Christ at your availability? How many of you would like that? I would enjoy it. Some of you might be a little scared. Maybe so. We wouldn't need to be afraid. He's a friend. And he knows you already. These disciples had Jesus. And he says, I have given you myself. I have given you. I have spoken unto you. He's telling about his time that he had given. You know, this doesn't just start here. You know, back in Matthew chapter, well, I say start here. He's going to reiterate this. He had given himself, but now Jesus is about ready to go. And what had God, Jesus, already given to these disciples? He told them what already? I'm not going to leave. I am leaving, but I'm not going to leave. You'll have me. Look over in Matthew chapter 28 really quickly. You know the verses. But what does he say there? What does he reiterate to these disciples again? And to, you know, he had told them, had they scattered? They had scattered and had come back. And now look at what he says. These disciples are gathered all around him again. Jesus is alive. You know, he rose from the dead. And so they're back, and their faith now is a little bit up. Their faith was really waning at the cross. Now they're back, and he's looking, and he's saying, okay. And he goes through the Great Commission, and he tells them, notice in verse 20, we're not going to look at 19 and 20, but notice, you know, he says, go into all the world. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Now he's just giving them a number of things that they need to do. I'm giving you my commission. I'm not going to be here. You're going to go out again. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to make disciples. You're going to bring them back and teach them to a world that's scary, and you're going to be afraid. And what does he say? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Now that was written to his disciples and those people that were gathered around them right before he's going to leave to go to the Father. And what is it? What promise does he give to his disciples? I will be with you. There's the availability that Jesus Christ has given to every one of his disciples. You know that God is always available to us as his disciples, always. Always. Can you imagine a helper at your side 24/7 for anything that you needed? And he happened to have the power of God. He was God. He is God. I want you to think about that just for a moment. The availability of power at any time of day. He refers to himself in verse 33 of John chapter 16 as the overcomer. An overcomer. I'm going to overcome. Can you imagine having the overcomer next to your side? Any trouble, any trial, any person, any situation, financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, the overcomer is there. The answer to everything in life is at your side. Would you feel pretty special? Folks, he's made himself available to you as well as those disciples. He's made himself available. Let me read some verses to you. I would love for you to flip to them, but I'll read them to you anyway. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Here it is. Be strong and of a good courage. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? The answer is given there. For the Lord thy God is with thee. When and where? Whithersoever thou goest, folks, any time of day, any problem or struggle that you go through, God is given. Now that was back to Joshua. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm with you. I'm with you. Jesus went to these disciples and he said, you know, I've made myself available. I have given you these things. He makes himself available to us. I love a lot of names of God and Jesus Christ. I love the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. Now, does that only during Christmas time? You know, he's even with us at Easter when we celebrate. You know, we sing, you know, "Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior." You know what? He's with us. When we feel like we're all alone, he's with us. He's with us. You know what? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what difficulties in life that you face, but I want to tell you something. He has made himself available. He said, "I have. You see, it's done. It's done. You have. This is not some dream to imagine that, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have. No, you have." He says, "I have." Wow. Kind of an amazing thought here. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we gather here to church together, he's with you individually, but, you know, corporately, we have him. Let's count. How many are here? One, two. Oh, we already have them. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am I in the midst of them." Do you know that we have him? He's given himself to us. This is not something that we have to wish that we could get. God, would you give yourself to me today? And what's the answer that he's already given? I have. You have him. You have the Almighty God next to your side. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Why? Because we have him. We have him. Let me ask you, Christian, are you thankful for the time that Christ has given to us? Are you thankful for the time that he has given to you? I'm going to ask you again, are you thankful that Jesus Christ has given you his time? You've got him. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. His availability. You know, a lot of Christians look at God as in their prayer to as him as they're like a bug to him. Get lost, you know. Get lost. Would you leave me alone? Folks, that's not the attitude that God has with us. God loves to spend the time with us. God is not trying to lose us in a crowd. Get some time by myself. You know, we as humans don't understand that because we all love just a little bit of time by ourselves. But I want to tell you something. That's not the attitude of Jesus Christ. No, he says, "I have. I've given myself to you." You know, time is sacrifice. Time is sacrifice, and Jesus sacrificially, willingly gave himself to those disciples. But he has made the choice to willingly, sacrificially give every moment of his life to you. You call people, and the phone is busy. You call people, and they put you on hold. But my friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ never puts you on hold. He's right there, and he's available at any time you need him. And just the time I need him, he's always there. We're just about ready to sing that song for Easter. He lives, he lives. I don't know if it's on the list, but I want to tell you something. He lives. That means he's living right now for you. He's there. He's sitting right next to you. Better than that, he's right there. He's right on your lap. He's right there. I've got him. He's available. Imagine what our Lord is to us. And we praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for his word, you know it, that I can't. Sometimes it's hard to imagine right next to us, but I want to tell you something. We can open up and we can see and experience his being there with us through his word. Let's look at another thing, though. Something else he says, "I have." He says, I have spoken unto you. I've given you a lot of words. I've given you my time. I've given you myself. Notice at the end of the verse, he says, I've overcome the world. Now, we can look at this in a couple different ways. You know, he said, I've overcome the world. Number two, he willingly gave his power to his disciples. Not only do we have his presence, but we have his power. His power. He says, I'm with you, but you've got to do the work. I'm just there to watch you do it. You know, sometimes we get people to come and accompany us, and just their presence helps us, but they don't have the power to do it. I appreciate sometimes when somebody is with me just to be there. You know, everybody else, I remember yesterday, you know, there was lots going on. By the way, that's painful for a pastor to have 200 people in his church. And to, I was home with Nehemiah and Malachi for a long time, for a couple days. You know, and I love their company. I love their presence. And I'll tell you something. I enjoyed spending some time with Malachi, and we were there together. And that was a blessing. You know, it's a blessing to be there, and you get encouraged, you know, when somebody else is there. And, you know, you think about presence. Presence means a lot. Just to have somebody there with you. But you know what? I couldn't ask either of those two to help me do some big project or to do something if I couldn't lift it, you know, because there might not be the power. So presence is good, but presence and power is even better. Not only is with me, but now there's power to do it. And that's what he's offering. He says, I am not just with you, but I've overcome the world. I've given the power. You know, he is speaking of his near future crucifixion. He says, I have overcome the world, as if it had already happened. He's going to overcome the world in an act when Jesus went to the cross and died, went to the grave for 3 days, and then, boom, we see the power as he rose from the dead. And that would be the overcoming power that he would give to these disciples. He says, I've overcome the world. He's speaking in the future. I have, like it was in the past, in the future, I've done it. And I have given it to you. I've overcome the world. What does he tell those disciples? He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Why is he saying that? He's saying you can be excited because you're getting my power. I will already defeat all your struggles. I'll already take care of your tribulations. I'll already take care of the enemy. I have already come the world. Go back to the Great Commission again, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. He gives him his presence in this Great Commission, but it's not the only thing. He just doesn't say, you're going to go out and do this and I'll be with you. He says in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them. And what's the very first thing that he says? All power. He ends with, I'll be with you, but he says, and you're going to have my power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, listen, I've got it, and I'm going to give it to you. All the power that I have, bang, it's going to be yours. And that's what he's able to do. And if people go out in Christ's power, how else will they do what they did? What a tremendous thing that he gives. He says, I have. You know what? He's given himself and he's given us his time, but he's given us his power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it's kind of the transfer of this power. He says, but ye shall receive power. I've got the power and ye shall receive the power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's the transfer of that power. The Father's given it to me. I've got the power. And bang, there you go. You've got the power to do the work. You know, he had victory over the enemy. Why don't you think about the evil one? Does the evil one give us problems? He's got the power to overcome, and he did, the evil one. What about the enemy's followers? What do you think? Difficult to overcome sometimes? But you know what? Jesus Christ overcame those enemies. The enemy, the enemy's followers, you know, he had the victory over sin. Praise the Lord that he had the victory over sin and he has the victory over our tribulations. But you know, it's one thing to talk about him having the power. Are you thankful that Christ has the power for all those things? I am. But what I really want you to see is he says, I've given it to you. I have given it to you. He's given us the victory. He gave it to his disciples and he gives it to us. You're of God, little children, 1 John 4:4 says, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than that is in the world. He's given us that same power. So He's just not there in his presence. But boy, presence is a wonderful thing, isn't it? He's not just there as he's got the power and I'm here and we're together. No, he's here with us and he gave me his power. Power over what? Guess what? You have power over the enemy. You thought that Satan was strong. And by the way, Satan is mighty powerful. But do you know that because of Jesus Christ and you, you have power over the enemy. You've got power over the devil. He's got to submit to you. Resist the devil and what will he do? He'll flee from you. You know, we have victory over our enemy. And we have victory over his followers. We have victory over the sin that he brings. And we have victory over death and our tribulations. We do have the victory. He says, I have given you these things. Can you imagine having the power? Let me read for you some verses. I'm going to read them quickly. Notice in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. A blessing? In him we do all this. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God, in him are ye. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, I want to tell you, that's pretty powerful, Sean Madrid, to have my sin declared now as righteousness. That's power. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We have him. And that's what he's given to us. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, that's power. And be found in him. Paul is praying in Philippians 3. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says in Colossians, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Did you hear that last verse? And he's speaking to you, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are completed with Christ. Folks, you have his presence and you got his power. Lastly and quickly, he says again, I have overcome the world. Same statement. But notice if you go up, that in me ye might have peace. Yes, he was the overcomer over the enemy and the enemy's followers and over sin and over death and over tribulation. But notice he says, I have overcome the world that in me ye might have peace. He said, I have. You know, no one else made him do it. No, he said, I have done it. No one else made him give it over. God didn't come to him and take a knife to him and say, now listen, you must do this. No, he willingly did it. He gave of himself. He gave that victory and that power, but he gave the peace. I'm so grateful for the peace. I do want you to turn to this verse, though. Go to John chapter 10. I want you to see this. This is a great couple verses that's listed here. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. You know, we could ask the question, who was the one that killed Jesus? And there's a lot of a variety of answers that could come out there. You know, some people say, you know, well, the devil did it. Some people might say, the Jews killed him. The centurion was the one that, you know, that he was already dead. Who killed Jesus? You know, even the Father did not force him to do it. So as we look at this situation here, who was the one responsible for Jesus' death? Some people even say us. We did it. And in a sense, it is our sin. But I want you to see a tremendous truth that's given to us in John chapter 10. And I want you to look at verses 17 and 18. Folks, this will make it all the more special. He says, therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man, who? Let me ask you a question. Who took his life? Was it the devil? Was it the centurion? Was it the Jews? Now, I know what you were saying when you said me, we did, and my sin. Okay, it was because of our sin he died. I know that. But according to this passage, who took his life? Yes, it was for me. But he did it, folks. Do you see that? I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. It wasn't any man that did it, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Folks, I want to tell you something. He willingly and sacrificially chose to lay his life down for his disciples, and he willingly and sacrificially chose to lay it down for you, so that you could have peace. Now, I trust that many of you in this room have taken that. What a sacrifice, folks. Do you see that? We all have this mentality that people came and people killed him. And yes, it was the hands of the soldiers. But I'll tell you, Jesus died of his own accord. Do you get that? It wasn't thorns. It wasn't the spear. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the spit. It wasn't the mocking. It was Jesus saying, Father, into thy hands I what? Commend. I give it. He said, you've got it. He gave his life for you. People didn't do it. He gave it. But you see, when he said he was an overcomer, he was given himself. And this is what I want to get at as we close. My friend, do you have it? Do you have him? Do you have him? Folks, this is presence. This is power. But I can ask you a question. Do you have peace? Presence, power, peace. Christian, let me ask you a question. Are you living in peace right now? You have it if you'll take it. But maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I could ask you a question, who and what are you relying upon for when that time happens, which none of us know when it will happen? None of us know when we're going to pass on into eternity. We don't know. You might think you know, but we don't know. Let me ask you, when that time comes, and it is appointed unto man once to die, there's going to be a time, unless the Lord returns, and I hope for that way. But if he doesn't return before your time, there is a time. There is a time with your name on it. When that time comes, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that you have the peace of God? When I say peace, I'm talking about peace. I'm not talking about emotional feeling. I'm not even talking about anosa from the Scriptures. I'm talking about, do you know that you have eternal life that does come from the Scriptures? Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when Jesus Christ comes or you die, that you're going to be on your way to heaven? Or are you here this morning in a hope-so situation? I don't know. I want to tell you something. Jesus has overcome the world for you so that you might have peace. You do not have to get up from your chair or your pew today without that peace. You can have it today. You don't have to go out those doors. You have it. Why? Because he has freely, of his own accord, given it to you. That's the heart of Christ, my friends. But I ask you, do you have that peace? I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask a very serious and pointed question, and I don't want anybody else to look around. I'm asking you to bow your head and close your eyes. It's amazing how many times I say that, and I look out there and people just sit there and watch. Well, I'm not going to force you to do it, but I'm asking you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm asking that no one look around. And I'm going to ask you a very serious question. Do you know that you have the peace of God? I'm not asking you through your life to make it. I'm asking you, do you have the peace of God which restores man, sinful mankind to a holy God? Folks, that only comes through Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, do you know for sure the peace of God has given to you, that you know for sure that when you die today, or when you the day you die, and if it were today, that you know that you would be with God, that you have that eternal life? You know for sure because of what? Because you have seen the Word of God and what He said. You know that you're a sinner. You know that because of your sin you deserve hell. You understand that God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for on the cross. You understand that. You know that. And you know that the Bible teaches that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And you can sit here and you say, I have that peace because I have done that. God says that this is what you're supposed to do. I've done that, and therefore I have that peace. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room today say, Pastor, I have listened to these things, but I don't have that peace? If my time came today, it scares me, but I don't know what would happen with me today. Now, before I ask you to do something, I want to tell you something. He's made it free that you can. But now let me ask you the question. Is there anybody that's sitting in the room today and he says, you know what, I do not have that peace that you're telling me Jesus offers, but I don't have it today. I struggle with this. I'm scared about this. I don't know where I'll go. And you would just be willing to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, by the way, I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm going to pray for you. But you say, Pastor, I don't have that peace. I do not have the peace that you're talking about that Jesus Christ freely and willfully has given. But Pastor, I'm going to raise my hand just to tell you that I don't. And I'm asking, would you pray for me? Because I would like to have that peace someday, but I don't have it. If there's anybody in the room, you say, you would just be willing to. You know what? This takes humility. It's hard to do this. But would you simply lift your hand and say, Pastor, I don't have that peace. Would you please pray for me? Is there anybody that would slip their hand and say, I don't have that peace? I don't know. I don't know. Amen. Anybody else? Folks, there's two people that raised their hand, and praise the Lord. What you say, Pastor, why do you say praise the Lord? They don't know. I want to tell you something. Praise the Lord, because that's the first step to knowing. You've got to be willing to admit it. Say, I don't know that I have that. Anybody else? You say, you know what, Pastor? I don't know. Anybody else with your hand? God, would you please be with these two individuals? Would you help them? God, would you help them today that before they leave, they could have that assurance that they would know they have that peace. That they have that peace with you. God, would you help them? Maybe there are others in the room today who say, you know, today's been a blessing. I have the peace. Or I have the... It's a blessing to know that there's a presence. I'm thankful for that. So, you know, it's a blessing to know that I have that power. I have that power. It's a blessing to know that I have the peace of God through my tribulations and my struggles, that I can be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I pray, I trust that the Lord has worked with you, and you say, praise the Lord, I'm so thankful that I have these things. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're not going to sing, Melissa, if you want to play 546, I gave my